It is so good to worship God with each one of you. It is always a privilege. It's an honor to come and to love Jesus and to collectively, you know, as the church of God, just to say, Lord, I love you. Lord, we love you. Amen. We know it's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by the Holy Spirit. Everything we do, everything that you do, everything I do, cannot be our strength, cannot be our power, but by the power of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, which is present and helps you in your need, in your time, in your hour of need, the Holy Spirit, which is present right here, right now, has filled you, has equipped you. There's been tears, there's been laughter, there's been, but at the same time, God has poured His Spirit out and will continue to pour His Spirit out on His church, and we are His church, right? So we are focused on the Holy, Holy Spirit, not a strange fire, but the Holy Spirit's fire. Amen. The glorious power that He brings unto us. Amen. And we train ourselves by renewing our minds, as Romans 12 tells us. Do we renew our minds, right? And so we don't renew so that we can have more information, right? We want to renew our minds so that we can be transformed. We want that transformation, correct? And that's what God wants for us. That's what He calls us to, minds that are literally transformed. Formed in Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Abba. Glory, glory, glory. Well, praise the Lord. Heaven is His throne. Thank you, Father. Yes, and earth is His footstool. Isn't that true? In Isaiah 66 and verse 1, Isaiah 66 and verse 1, it says, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build for me? Where is my resting place? Heaven is His throne. Heaven is my throne. This is what the word of the Lord says. Earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? We know where is my resting place. We know that house, that resting place is within us. He literally has made His home within us because we've invited Him. We've welcomed Him, right? Amen. And so as I said to you a moment ago, therefore, we are carriers of His wonderful, glorious, manifest power in us. The glorious manifested power of the glory of God's love. That love is beautiful. That love is so powerful. That love is most apparent even when you're persecuted. That love is most apparent. You know that, right? Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew and 5. Carriers of the glory of God, the manifold glory of God manifesting through His love, being manifested through His love. His word is instruction to us, it's power to us, it's healing, it's health, it's life, it's health to our whole body, to our bones, our whole life, right? That's what the Bible says. That's what His word says in Proverbs in chapter 4, right? And love is most apparent when you are persecuted because glory has a cost. Glory has a cost. Just like an anointing has a cost, glory has a cost. You know, it seems so simple and there's laughter and it just seems like we're overwhelmed with it. Yes and no. Yes and no. But it's because a yielded vessel doesn't look at the problem or the trial or the difficulty and stays focused on that. Instead, it says, Lord, it's all worth it for you. And there's an entry that happens, it takes place, if you will, into the realm of God's glory where it's like, wow, I didn't even know all this existed before when my eyes weren't fully on you, but now they are. And now I see what is truly there. It's like a whole new arena, a whole new area of what God wants you to walk in, His glory. Amen. And so, and that way it seems easy, but there was a choice. There was a decision. There was a decision. A point in time where there was a decision that you had to make, and that decision was, I will serve you no matter what. I will serve you no matter what. Father God, you are worth it all. Amen? So we're called to love, and that love is a choice. We're called to love by choice, not by circumstances, right? We're called to love, and we're called to overcome evil with good. And we know in 1 Corinthians 13:13, we can put that scripture up, 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, there are three that remain, right? Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest is love. Faith, hope, and love, and the greatest is love. So love is our highest calling. What's your calling? Well, your highest calling is love. And that's true for each and every person. Your highest calling is love, to love like Christ. Amen? And it's produced in our lives. That love is produced. Faith, hope, and love. You can have faith and you can have hope, but if you don't have love, you don't have anything. You can have faith. You can have faith in all kinds of things. Hopefully your faith is grounded in Jesus. But you can have faith, you can have hope, and you can have hope in all kinds of things. And hopefully your hope is also grounded in the word and the truth, right? But if you don't have love, then you don't have Christ. We have to have this love. We have to understand love is our highest calling. And it is produced. Love is produced as we surrender our lives to Christ and we truly walk surrendered to the Spirit. Amen? And so even the nine fruits of the Spirit, when we think about the nine fruits in Galatians chapter 5, you can put that one up, 23. The nine fruits of the Spirit. It's not the work of the Spirit, by the way. It's the fruit, right? So it's not the work of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? So in other words, it is a byproduct. The fruit that you see is a byproduct of a yielded life in Christ. And love is right there and the first one. Love has to be the first one. It's produced through us. The fruit is not worked through. It's produced. We don't work it. We yield. We surrender. And then that fruit is then produced in our lives, right? And love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But the very first mention was love, right? That agape kind of love. There's different kinds of love, but God who loves with agape kind type of love, right? Unconditional. And there are times he tells us, I want you to walk in that agape kind of love. Amen. So let's look at chapter 5, but in verse, let me see where I want to start here. Chapter 5. No, we're starting 43. Let's go and let's start right there at 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you and do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That word love there is agape. That word love is God's love for us, that he's calling us to also walk in. That highest form of love, that unconditional love. He says, but I say to you, love, and then out of all the people he could have told us to love, an agape kind of love, he says, your enemies. You think about what God is actually asking us to do. You recognize how much of a self-laid-down, selfless walk is truly a Christian walk, but how much peace and assurance and security is contained when you truly love like Jesus loves. So love your enemies and bless those who curse you. Love your enemies, those who are hard and harsh, and bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. This is our instruction. I know it's the opposite in the world, but it says to do good, bless, repay evil with good. In Romans, it tells us that. But here it says, do good to those who hate you and pray. There is so much that takes place when you will pray for the very individual that has caused you harm, that has been very hurtful, even spitefully, even intentionally hurtful. You want to see the power of God move in your life? You want to see things turn around? Pray for that individual. Pray, let your life be a laid down life of love for that individual. Do they deserve it? No. Does any one of us really deserve anything good anyway? No, we don't. It is such a gift of God, from God unto us, anything good that he gives. We're not deserving. We didn't earn it. We don't measure up. But God's goodness is overwhelming, isn't it? It's a free gift. So he's asking us here, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Now I'm going to pause there for one moment because I want to go over to the Amplified Version, and I'm going to read it from the other version. Okay, so 43, it says, but you have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor, your fellow man, and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love, again, that's that agape love. Love, that is, unselfishly seek the best or the higher good for. Seek the best or the higher good for your enemies. And pray for those who persecute you so that you may show yourselves to be children of your Father, so that you may show yourselves to be, you know why? Because it's not natural. It's not natural, especially like in the world, it's not natural, but even just within us, it's not natural until you start to do it, and then you recognize, actually, we were created for this, and it is very natural, because we're spirit beings, right? And so we don't walk in our natural ability. We don't walk in by ourselves or in and through ourselves. We walk by the Spirit. It's natural in the kingdom. It's natural for the Lord. That's what he did. So when you recognize, I have been made new by the power and the presence of God, then you recognize, you know what, actually this is natural now. It is natural for a spirit-filled believer. But it is still a choice, because I can see the wheels spinning for some of you. Yeah, but you don't know, but this is really hard. I didn't say it was going to be easy at first, but it still can be natural as you press into the Father and say, Lord, how much more did you take? How much more did you suffer? How much more insults and persecutions, spiteful, right? How much more? And yet you blessed, you prayed, you interceded, you said, Father, forgive them. How much more are we to also do the very same thing? So, but I say to you, love, that is, unselfishly seek the best or the higher good for your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may show yourselves to be children of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on those who are evil and on those who are good, and makes the rain fall on the righteous, those who are morally upright, and on the unrighteous, those that are unrepentant, those who oppose him. Then it goes on, it says, for if you love only those who love you, what reward do you have? It's easy to love someone that loves you back. It's not always easy to love someone that's hard, that's purposely spiteful or mean. But we're still called to love. If we don't have love, in 1 Corinthians 13, it tells us we have nothing. And it tells us we are nothing, right? And so, you know, you might see, well, that's such a simple, you know, message. Well, yes, it is. And it's, you know, God doesn't make it difficult for us. The difficult part sometimes is in the walking it out. Do we do this? And do we do this all the time? My prayer is that we're doing this more and more. We're walking in this way more and more. We're recognizing a yielded life is really not as hard as we thought it used to be, because yieldedness doesn't have its own agenda. It's when you have your own agenda that you think you have to make something happen. But yieldedness is, I trust my Father so much that I know I will take my refuge in him. I will hide myself under him. I know under his wings I take refuge. I know that he heard my cry. I know he'll take care of me. I know he's my defender. I know he'll speak on my behalf. I know he'll turn this thing around for me. But I'm going to walk in love. Right? And so that is just, these are the words that Jesus spoke. These are the words in red. Jesus said, this is part of the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes isn't just the very beginning part of Matthew 5. It goes on. It goes on for a few chapters, as a matter of fact. This is what Jesus taught his disciples to do. This is how you are to be.
Lord, because of faithful partners like you, we are now in so many homes throughout the world, north, south, east, and west. God is expanding this ministry. I am just in awe. I wanted to take a moment right now and just thank you and encourage you as you continue to sow your seed. And for some of you, prayerfully consider becoming partners with us at this ministry, because lives are being changed. People are getting saved, healed, and delivered. Men and women of God are being fostered up, being raised up to stand for truth. So partner with us on a monthly basis as the Lord leads, because the seed that you sow in the ground is for the eternal purposes of God. Amen. God bless you. Let's get back to
this. This is how you are to live. Amen. Now, let's look back. I want you to, let's go back to, verse 37. So just jump a few scriptures back. Because I hear this a lot where people, well, I swear, you know, I swear to this or I swear to that, you know. Like, as believers, you know, we're actually mandated by the Lord to not do that. We were actually mandated by the Lord not to do that. I know, you know, it's like, if we don't hear these things in church, sometimes church gets sloppy, and they make excuses, and they start to compromise, which is a slippery slope, right? But here, it says here, I'm going to start in verse 36. It says, nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you are not able to make a single hair white or black, but let your statement be yes, let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. I'm reading from the Amplified. A firm yes or no. Anything more than that comes from the evil one. Let your yes be yes and let your no be no. Anything more from that than that comes from the evil one. Why? Because if you have to, no, I'm telling you the truth, I swear. If you have to go to that extent, I'm telling you the truth, I swear, I can swear. You want me to swear? I can swear. It's like, don't ever say that, and don't ever put somebody in that position, because what you're saying when you're saying that is that, you know, at this moment in time, I am telling you 100% the truth, which implies that at other points in time, you were not. It implies that you're not honest all the time. But if we are going to be people that say, no, my yes is going to be yes, and my no is going to be no, that there is a resolve on the inside of me that I don't just speak words. Be intentional. When you speak words, you speak with intentionality. When you promise something, you make good on that promise. And if there is a true, valid reason as to why you can't, then you ask to be released. So many, even in the church, it's just like their commitment is not there. They say, yes, I'm going to be there, I'm going to do it. And then they don't show up, they don't do it. And it's like, oh, something came up, you know. And you might even get a sorry, maybe. No, we're going to be a church that is so strong and understand. A commitment is everything. If I say yes, I mean it. So I think through before I speak and before I commit. Because I'm going to be held to that commitment. I don't need to go to other extents of saying things to make you believe what I'm saying. No, because my yes actually carries weight. We need to be people that our yes carries weight and our no carries weight. Does that make sense? It's important that we understand that. You know, when we do this, when we live in this way, it's the peace of God that literally fills us, transforms our thinking. The Bible says that great, great peace have they who love your law, which is the word of God, and nothing can make them stumble. Great peace. Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they who love your law. Well, if you love God's law, then you're going to do God's law. You're going to do God's word. You're going to be committed. And we're committed. We're people that understand the presence and the fire and the glory of God. He fills us to levels that we didn't even know existed at one point in time. But there's a calling. There's an expectation. For Christians to be Christian, to be Christ-like, and to be people of integrity, and to walk with integrity, because you carry his name. We carry the name of Jesus, and people, like I've told you before, are watching. They are watching you, your family, They're watching you. They may not like everything that you're saying or doing. They may not agree with it. They may be as far away from it as, you know, they could possibly be. But they're still watching. They're still learning. There's going to come a point in time if you continue to be strong and steadfast and true. There's going to come a point in time where they recognize you really are the real deal. You really are the real deal because they're testing you right now. Some of them are just testing you right now to see, are they going to buckle when I persecute even more? Are they going to buckle when I persecute even more? Are they going to take the bait? But that bait came from the devil. That bait came from the enemy. Just using that individual, just speaking through that individual. But the bait didn't come from them. It came from the devil that wants to exhaust you. How does somebody compromise? By waking up one day and say, I'm going to make this decision to just do things contrary to the will of God. No, we know that's not true. But slowly but surely, one decision after the next. And a lot of times it's just keeping you busy, 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 where you can't even hear the will of God. Or you can't even hear his voice when he tells you something because you're too distracted. You're too busy. Distractions. Too busy. So sometimes you just need to intentionally slow your life down. And you can do it. Every one of us can do it. Let his word be the first word you hear in the morning and the last word you hear before you go to bed at night. Why? Because you're going to safeguard your spirit. Because you're going to walk intentionally with love being the very first and foremost thing that you walk in. And when God says, I want you to love that person that is hard to love, then you go and you do that very thing. When he says, I want you to do a kind act for them and towards them, you do it. When he says, I want you to pray and I want you to keep on praying, I want you to fast for that individual. Have you fasted for whom you would say is an enemy? You need to fast for that individual. Pray and fast for that individual. Why? They're so wicked. They're so mean. You have no idea what they've done. They're in chains. They're bound by iniquity. And God is speaking to you to be a vessel that understands breaking chains isn't just singing the song, Breaking Chains. But there is power when we pray and fast. And the Bible tells us that some kind, do not come off, meaning demonic power, except for through prayer and fasting. And for those that are part of this church and felt led to join us, we are on our last day of this month, because this is the end, if you're watching live, the last day of April, and so this is the last day of our fast for this month. And I'll hear the Lord for next month, and we'll pick it up next month and do what he tells us to do. But a praying church and a fasting church is a church full of power. And love is the very first and foremost thing that you will see. And there are people that get set free because you've said, yes, Lord, I understand. And I want to do your will. I will do your will and your way fully, all the time, not just when it's easy. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. And the end result is he keeps you in perfect peace. He not only keeps you in perfect peace, but he will speak things to you that you did not know. You didn't know. There are things God wants to speak to his children. I had the Lord do something, two different things this past week. I didn't do anything in the natural. I prayed. I asked the Lord to take care of it for me. And he did in a powerful way. He does this all the time. And you know, when God does that, there's specific things that you just know. You're like, oh my goodness, this is pretty wicked what somebody was trying to do. God took care of it. Two different things. God took care of it. Don't you know he sees you? Don't you know that he knows what's going on in your life? And don't you know he's a defender? The Bible says he's a defender of the weak. It's good to be weak in Christ. In other words, he's the all-strong, powerful one, and we come under his power. We're strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Our strength is in the Lord, not in and of ourselves, right? So he's the defender of the weak. So it's good to recognize, oh yes, I'm weak, but when I'm weak, he makes me strong. When I'm weak, he makes me strong. He makes you strong. And he will tell you of things to come. He'll show you what to say and what not to say. He'll tell you when something needs to be made public and when you just need to take it to the throne room yourself. And you just need to pray that thing through and then trust God is going to take care of it for you. And he will. And he does. Time after time after time. Testimony after testimony, not just mine, but many of us. Amen? As we've been going through this, the Gospel of Matthew, you know, we get to glean from portions of Scripture that God says, I am depositing in you a strength, a well of life, because that's what his words are. If you were to grab a hold of, I'm going to let my yes be yes and my no be no. I want to walk with such intentionality that when God, when people see me, that's a true Christian right there. Because one day we're going to see him face to face. And I want him to be so pleased. And I believe we will. I believe the pleasure of God. I could feel it now. But still, we want to hear well done, don't we? But we live our lives with that understanding that that is what he's going to say. Because we've decided to do things his way. I have decided to follow Jesus. That song that we sing, no turning back, no turning back. It's such a beautiful decision. It's such a beautiful commitment. And he literally fills you with the Holy Ghost so that you have more than what you need at every moment of every day.
The power of God comes upon you to fulfill that assignment. You all have assignments. And if you learn to press in, tarry, in your everyday walk, what you will find is the power of God comes upon you to fulfill the assignment that is right in front of you. What happens in these services when we're in the thick of the glory, but the Shekinah glory cloud enters the room and people get healed just because of the glory? What is the glory but the presence of the Holy Spirit? The cloud came. They watched. The disciples watched as Jesus was just literally just enveloped in this cloud and he was taken up. But we know he's coming back down. But it's his glory that comes down all the time. It's his presence that comes down all the time. As much as you want.
Get up and lead. Receive dynamic downloads for courageous, spirit-led leadership that will empower you to rise with confidence and authority. From grief to glory, journey from the fire of adversity into the fire of his love, where healing, restoration, and purpose are released. Devil, get your hands off. Discover 6 powerful strategies to snatch your children out of deception and back into truth. Buy your book now on Amazon. Our app is live. Search MWBN TV on the Apple App Store or Google Play. Watch powerful teachings, experience healings, and be encouraged by the Word, all in one place. No more web browsing. Scan the QR code and download now.